and welcome to our podcast. This is Radio SGN. I am one of your hosts, Lindsay Anderson, and joining me is my co-host,
Benny Loy.
My pronouns are she, her.
And I'm she, they.
And these are our voices, and we're talking to you. So I guess we'll just get into the news right away. We had a lot of entertainment news coming on this week at the SGN. One of the top stories this week is about the Tacoma Pride Festival, which our superstar reporter, Benny Loy, was on the ground at. So, Benny, can you tell me a little bit about Tacoma Pride Festival?
Yeah, so it was pretty awesome. I'd never attended Tacoma Pride Festival before, so I didn't know what to expect with it. And every other time that I've ever been in downtown Tacoma, it's been pretty barren. Like, there's not very many people usually walking along the streets, at least when I've gone down there. Then I, you know, came in, and there's a ton of people. I make my way to a volunteer booth, talk to them a bit, and they get me into contact with the people who were organizing the whole event that work for Rainbow Center, which Rainbow Center is this awesome organization in Tacoma. It's all about providing resources, about community outreach, engagement, and education, and advocacy.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, they do a little bit of everything for our community up in Tacoma, and they were really great. They were really gracious. I met Faith Brown, who I believe is like the financial director, and then she introduced me to their brand new executive director, Quincy Tyson. And they were great, and they were telling me about how Rainbow Center only has 7 employees.
Really?
Yes. But they managed to organize this huge pride with the help of volunteers. Apparently, the city was super supportive and helped them out a lot. And the Tacoma Pride this year was the largest that they've ever had. The executive director told me that they were expecting around 20,000 visitors over the course of the festival.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. I know a couple friends of mine performed there as comedians. Did you get a chance to see the comedy show that they did while you were there?
No, but I think I know what you're talking about. I've been to that comedy place. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, they had just a huge, I think it was like an outdoor comedy thing, just a ton of people. So just shout out to Juno Men and Melina and Keek, if they're listening. They're probably not, but... Yeah, that sounds super fun. What was your favorite part about Tacoma Pride?
Oh, probably the Satanists giving out hugs.
Oh my God, that's adorable.
As I was walking around, checking out every booth and everything like that, I came across these 2 Satanists. Their business is called Hex Communicated. You can find them on Instagram.
Hex Communicated? That's hilarious.
They will perform rituals for you, like weddings, funerals, unbaptisms.
Yes, I was going to ask about unbaptisms. That is so funny.
Yeah, they're from Olympia. They were visiting all the way from Olympia.
Wow.
They were the sweetest people. They were handing out water bottles, free sunscreen, and a lot of hugs. So that was pretty great.
Maybe we are in the end of days of the Satanists or the people that are like caring for the people and hugging people and...
Yeah.
The Christians are the ones like holding up their signs telling us we're going to hell for going to Pride.
Well, luckily enough, there was that one protester that we see every single year. And I think they had one other person with them. I've seen this guy at every single protest, every single event, holding the same sign about like, I think it says like, ask me why you're going to hell.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, that giant banner.
Yeah. Oh, but he had a friend. He finally made a friend.
Maybe. I'm not sure. It could have been just somebody randomly with a megaphone, but it kind of seemed like it. There was also a nudist. He wasn't completely nude. He did have a cock sock. He had a big sign that said, you know what, we should not be exposing children to hatred. And I was just like, props to you.
Yeah, I like that. Like, I don't know if I like it 100%. Like, I wouldn't do that, you know, but I like it. You know, I like where his heart was at. For sure. The message was super important.
Yeah. Couldn't be me. I'm most comfortable, like, layered up. But you know what? That's pretty brave. And he even approached the protester and said some
really?
Words. Yeah. So
sometimes I wonder if the protesters are, like, actually really so sexually deprived, you know, that they go to these pride events just so, like, because they probably, they can't watch porn, but they can go to the pride events and see, you know, a guy in a cock sock walking around. It might make their day, their year. You know, that might be the closest thing they get to sex all year long, getting to go to these protests. you know, that's why I'm like, good for him for having a friend at least. You know, maybe, mm-hmm. maybe that's all he needs is the touch of another man.
Really? Yeah. Like, yeah. Dude just needs to, like, let go and just, like, you're already attending all these events. Just enjoy them.
Yeah, like, is he paying to get in?
I don't know.
It's giving the same energy as the people that, like, bought a bunch of, like, Nikes or Coke or whatever it is they're protesting, Pepsi, and then just, like, dump it out, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you're speaking with your dollars, so.
Well, and I think it's more of, like, they actually have done studies on this. I know that we're going on off on a huge tangent, but they have done studies on this. They have found that people who report themselves as, you know, being homophobic, when they're put through a very specific test that has to do with connecting some scientific equipment to certain body parts, that when they're shown, you know, like if they're a man and they claim to be straight and they also report that they're homophobic, when they're shown like pictures of like gay porn or naked men or attractive men, the machine picks up on what's going down, or should I say coming up. So
yeah.
There is a link between, you know, not to say that all, but there does seem to be a bit of a link between being very homophobic and also being very, very closeted.
Definitely. I mean, that just, we talked earlier in the office this week about how we're both from Spokane, and I feel like that is such a vibe there too. It's like a rite of passage as a queer kid in Spokane to like be homophobic. It's like,
yeah,
internalized homophobia for sure. I'm not proud to admit it, but I definitely was a homophobe as a child for a while.
Yeah.
But you know, it's like things that you even hear from.
I struggled with that too.
Yeah. Like my dad is very homophobic. And
yeah. I have a lot of homophobic family.
He told me at one point that being gay is a choice and you should just choose not to be gay. And that screams bisexual to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're choosing.
Yeah.
You're choosing this?
You're choosing to be straight? Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I totally agree. But yeah, Tacoma Pride Festival was incredible. So shout out to Rainbow Center for putting on such a great pride. Shout out to the city of Tacoma for apparently being so supportive. That's great to hear. And everybody who attended and like had a great time.
Yeah, it sounds like it was awesome.
And specifically, shout out to the random street performer that was playing the saxophone. And they, when I was passing them, they started playing Country Road.
Oh,
that made me
nice.
Almost want to cry a little bit. I'm like, what?
I listened to that song on repeat when I was delirious with COVID earlier this year. Gonna be in my Spotify top 10, I'm sure.
Yeah. Do you ever sing?
Oh, just like in the shower or the car, but not publicly. I won't, like, even if my partner's in the car with me, I won't sing because I'm deeply scarred from an encounter as a child when I thought I could sing really well. Back when like Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez were like, you know, on Disney Channel, and I recorded myself singing a Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez song and then listened to it back and then wanted to kill myself afterwards because I was like, this is horrible. This sounds like a dying cat.
The trick is just to never take it seriously. Treat it like it's karaoke. Nobody goes to karaoke to, you know, hear people sing well.
Oh, well, I don't even sing at karaoke. Like, I'm that embarrassed. I will get up and do an open mic set, stand-up comedy, anywhere, anytime, drunk, stone cold sober, but I will not sing in front of a single soul.
You're never gonna just, you know, occasionally bust out just like, country road, take me home.
If I sounded that beautiful, Benny, I would.
I don't know if that was beautiful. I wasn't even trying on that one.
Well, okay. That was a great recap of Tacoma Pride and a lot of tangents from...
Moving on.
Moving on. Stick around for an interview. Okay, so joining me today is Lady Chablis, who is a Seattle local performer. You can catch her at Lashes at the Unicorn and Taqueria Cantina's Runway Brunch Show every week. So, Lady Chablis, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Doing great. Yeah.
Good.
Thank you so much for coming on the show and just having a quick conversation with me. So, you are a performer in the Seattle scene. How would you describe kind of Seattle's nightlife scene?
Well, and during the pandemic, it wasn't going well at all. But now that we've kind of lifted up things, I think the nightlife is going really good right now. You know, we've got a few shows here in Capitol Hill, especially drag shows that are happening. And so that's really good for our community. Also, I've noticed this particular round, for the last few years, we've had a lot of people doing brunch shows. And so that has been a big surprise, but it's been going really well.
Do you enjoy doing the brunch shows?
I really do enjoy doing brunch show a lot because we get a variety of people, especially people, older people who comes through. We got a lot of families that come in. It starts at 12:30 and it's just really fun. You know, I get a chance to people to get out before they continue with their Sunday fun days.
Awesome. So I know that a hot button issue has been drag shows, especially ones that are open to families and children. Have you found that your performances have been affected at all?
It has not been affected at all. As a matter of fact, we seem to have two or three children, teenagers and young kids at our show. And so, and I make it a very big point to let people understand the fact is that drag shows do not harm children. Guns harm children. And so we try to make it very comfortable. The only thing that I do ask my performers, though, is to any type of songs related, any type of profanity or any type of nudity, we ask them to cut that out. So we don't have that during our brunch show. That's kind of a night show. So.
And how do night shows differ from like brunch shows for you?
Well, as you guys are aware, on night shows, you have to be 21 and older.
Yeah.
In order to come to a night show. So because the location is usually in a bar area setting type.
And do you have a preference between the two?
I like them both because it's a variety of, you know, being at the nightlife. Because our show at Unicorn, it only lasts for about an hour and 15 minutes. So give the opportunity for people before they get ready to go out, they can come and see our show and then head out whatever their evening festivities is going to be. And I like the daytime, again, as I was mentioning, is that the daytime show is just very much, to me, is a little bit more family oriented.
And so you are a drag performer, correct?
I am a long time, 25 years drag performer.
Amazing. And what had kind of inspired you to want to get into drag when you first started?
Well, I used to be in theater. And when I did a lot of theater work, you lived in Nebraska, I moved up here to Seattle. And I remember going to my first drag show. And as I watched a performer, I kept telling myself in my head, I go, I can do that. I probably can do better than that. But, you know, and they were a fun show, don't get me wrong. But then after that, I was there to be in drag and do a drag show. And this was over in Tacoma at the time at Destiny's. And I did that show. And then they asked me if I'd be in this competition. I was in a competition, which was called La Femme Magnifique International. It was their primary show. I ended up getting first runner up. So I had to run in an international level. And I ended up getting first runner up there. So ever since then, that's what I've been doing.
Nice. That is so cool. And do you make your own outfits?
I do not, but I have someone in Atlanta, Georgia, who makes my outfits for me.
Oh, wow. Do you have a name for them? We could shout them out really quick.
Yeah, her name is Malaysia.
Nice.
And she's out of Atlanta. Yeah.
What inspires your kind of persona? What do you draw from there?
Do you talk about the way I do drag?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Well, I'm more of an old school drag. So I'm more in the doing numbers with Aretha Franklin, Whitney Houston, Tina Turner. So I'm more in that era. I'm not a shablam person, that's for sure. But other than that, that's where I'm at. So I'm more old school. And it's a good thing, though, because there's a lot of mixture between old school and the young generation who comes out to perform as well. So it gives us that combination. Because if we had it, everybody doing the exact same thing, it would be a one heck of a boring show. So,
yeah, that's so true. So kind of going back to your outfits that you said are like custom designed.
She does a lot of gowns and stuff for me or whatever I see in a magazine and I go, hey, can you replicate that? She would do that for me.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So how would you describe the look of some of these outfits?
Well, the ones that she makes for me is more of, they're either pageant wear outfits or they're either just ball gowns or gowns itself, things like that. And these, what I would have her to do is usually do these for me when it comes to any type of special events that are happening. Just recently, she made me an outfit because I was actually performing during the Juneteenth with some girls from RuPaul's Drag Race at the Moore Theater. So she made me a beautiful gown to perform in that.
Wow, that's so cool. What was it like performing with people that had been on Drag Race?
Well, after a while, in the very beginning, it was kind of like nervous kind of type. And that's when I was actually working at our place when it was open. But I got a chance to know these girls. And so the winner of RuPaul's Drag Race, the first winner, Bibi Sahara, her and I are good friends. I'm actually going to be seeing her next month down in Minneapolis. And we became really good friends. So most of the girls that I talk to now from RuPaul's Drag Race were just, you know, kind of like drag sisters.
That's so cool. Now, I've just got a couple fun questions for you.
Okay.
But if you had the opportunity to be on RuPaul's Drag Race, would you want to? Or
I tried out when it first came out back in the days, when very, very beginning, I tried out for it. But of course, there's a lot of people that are in that same competition who want to be on that show. As of today, the answer is no. I would not want to be on RuPaul's Drag Race. I love the fact of watching, well, two things. Number one, I'm seeing more younger people involved in there. I think it's a lot better. And the challenges are really good. I'm more of a person I just like to just kind of watch it and see exactly where their career takes off at. I used to always say that, oh my God, if I could do that, that'd be great because I could be a star. But I think here in Washington State, I'm already a star. So I'm okay with being locally where I'm at. So
nice. And then here's another just really fun question. If you could have lunch with any diva, living or dead, who would you want to have lunch with?
Okay, that's a good question. So if I could pick you, actually, we would have lunch together, all two of us. That would be Tina Turner and Whitney Houston.
Okay, cool. And why would you choose them?
Because they're divas completely. They're one of my biggest favorite singers that's out there. But I got a chance to look at Tina Turner's movie and just to kind of get a chance to know exactly what type of person she was and who she is. I fell in love with her immediately. And one thing I like about her too is the fact is that she didn't allow abuse stop her from doing what she needed to do. And she's very inspiring. Whitney, of all time, just got a voice. She just had a complete, angelic, beautiful, strong voice that is out there. So yeah, there would be my two divas I would have lunch with.
Amazing. Thank you. And just kind of speaking of not letting abuse stop you. Again, these couple of questions I'm going to have, they might be a little difficult to answer. So if you don't want to, you can feel free to just let me know and we'll cut them out. But why do you think that people are targeting drag queens, especially conservatives?
It's a political thing. I can tell you straight up what it is. Everything is based on political. When you have politicians who have no agenda and are weak to try to look at other avenues, they want to pick on something. So what do they pick on? They want to pick on the gay community. They started off picking on the transgender community because they felt that's the direction to go. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, here comes the drag queen community that they want to pick on. To be honest with you, it's extremely, I'm embarrassed for them because why would you nitpick and fight over a drag queen? That makes no sense at all. Absolutely no sense. So it's just a target that they have because they're trying to get some type of agenda together. And the thing about it too is that they're a small group. There's 35% of the people in the country who decided they wanted to target into this area. But we have 70 people already who are supportive of the drag community and our transgender community and women's rights and all the other stuff that's out there. So it's just them trying to blow smoke and trying to make things so big. The thing that we need to do though is, as a community, we need to just really band together and start getting these haters out of the office and start getting people who are more open and more love to people. That's what needs to happen. There's too many of these politicians that's been there way too long. And they're focused on the exact same thing over and over again. And on top of that, they're trying to find ways to bring us back in the time. You know, we're not living in the 40s and the 50s anymore. So they need to wake up. They call us the woke community, but they need to wake up.
Thank you so much. That was a great answer. And how do you think, I know you've said that you personally have not been affected by like drag bans going on in places like in the South. But how do you think that this impacts people in the broader community, both drag queens and, like you mentioned, transgender people or people that maybe just transgress gender?
I think it affects them a lot. I think it puts a target on their back as well. You know, we saw what happened over in Colorado Springs when a gentleman walked in and decided to go rampage out there and lost a few of our people in the LGBT community. It's just a way of targeting towards that community. And that's not a very safe area to have. I mean, we're lucky to be in a place like Washington State over in the West Coast where we don't have that type of situations that are happening. But when you look at places like Tennessee and Texas and all the other stuff, it's very hard for people to actually be able to be in a place where they can feel comfortable at. And on top of that, there's some drag queens out there. This is their source of income. And so you take that away from them as well because you have some ridiculous agenda that you want to put out there in front of people.
Thank you. And again, you mentioned that we live in Washington where this isn't really happening as much. How can people that support you or fans of you, what do you think they could do to either increase the acceptance of drag queens across the country or, you know, just let people know that Seattle is still a safe space?
Well, I think that we just need to get the word out to people. You know, we've got social media is one of the biggest things that we have, and we need to let people know that we have a safe place. But on top of that, we need to get more involved in nonprofit organizations that are actually supporting the LGBT community and be a part of them and be able to support them and help them and just go out there and fight. I mean, we can't win a war if we continue to stay back and say nothing and do nothing. You know, we have to really get out there and show people where we're at. And I believe this 2024 election will show that.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Those are all the questions that I have for you. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I just thank you so much for getting in contact with me and letting me be a part of this.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And again, to all our listeners at home, you can catch Lady Chablis at Lashes at the Unicorn and Taqueria Cantina Runway Brunch Show every week. So I would say check her out. Absolutely.
Great. Thank you.
And we're back. What a fun interview that was.
That was a great interview.
Full disclosure, at the time that we're recording this, the interview has not been recorded yet. But I'm sure that it was a great interview.
Absolutely.
But yeah, we've had a lot of fun stuff going on in both of our lives. While Benny was off having a grand old adventure at Tacoma Pride, actually this wasn't the same day, but like in the same area of the week, I was attending Can-Can Cabaret's new performance of Crimson and Clover. So for anybody that doesn't know, Can-Can is a burlesque show located in Pike Place Market. And I am our unofficial Can-Can reporter now, which I don't know how to feel about. I've mentioned this before. I feel kind of silly because I'm like such a regular there now because I only go to report on the shows. But I'm such a regular that the waiters remember me and they know my order. And they're like, oh, you again. I want to, like, of all the places I'm a regular at, it's the place where, like,
you can't escape it now. This is your beat.
It's my beat, but I'm, like, kind of the most prude person you could find. Like, I'm, like, always so embarrassed. And at this show, I have to say this was the best show I've seen at Can-Can so far. And they're always really, really good. But at this show at the very end, one of the performers came and I was asking a question. And they sat down right next to me. And they were just, you know, in their tiny little outfits that are super cute, but super revealing. And I was like trying so hard to just stare at their eyes. I was like, just keep looking at their eyes. Be professional. Oh, man.
Wow.
So, yeah, I get flustered very easily. And I think my face is red from like the moment I walk in to like 20 minutes after I leave. But this show was honestly a favorite of mine because I'm a huge fan of like musical theater, comedy, all things like that. And Can-Can's really a mixed bag. The performers are talented in like all areas. They dance, they sing, they act. But this was like a really good show of their kind of comedic timing because they had a lot of good jokes in there. And another thing that I thought was really unique about the show is, so usually it's set up with Jonathan Bechtel. He's the host and he's kind of the star of most of their shows. And he kind of plays just like a goofy goober, you know what I mean? Like, he just kind of comes off as like naive and silly and like golden retriever, by wife energy, you know what I mean? Like, it's giving Andy from Parks and Rec. This time, instead of Jonathan being in the starring role, performer Tori Gresham was in kind of the goofy lead role. And what's really cool is Tori Gresham is a woman. And usually you don't get to see, you know, usually in like burlesque performances, women are very sexualized. You know, and these women are beautiful and they're strong and they're talented and they're dancing and they're singing. But to see a woman also cracking jokes, especially like she made so many funny lesbian references. It was refreshing and I really, really enjoyed it. And also this is Can-Can's first lesbian romance they've done. Most of the performers there are queer or, you know, in some capacity and they make nods to it. There are side characters that are gay.
I mean, we're talking theater kids.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Sexy theater kids. But yeah, theater kids. So obviously they're going to be queer. Yeah, it was really, really cool to see. It was a cowgirl love story between two women. It was hilarious. There were U-Haul jokes, all kinds of just good material. I would highly recommend if you have been on the fence about going to a performance, this is the one to go to because cowboys are so hot this summer and it's literally just the vibes are immaculate. People in their cast that I like didn't know sang and they were amazing. So I cannot speak highly enough of it. That and the menu there is also incredible. All of the food at Can-Can Culinary Cabaret is locally sourced from Pike Place Market. So if you get like,
nice.
Yeah, they've got like mac and cheese gnocchi, which is amazing. Cool. I ordered that this time and it's from Beaker's like cheese, you know, like everything is fresh. It is so good. Definitely get the beignets.
I'm so hungry right now.
Oh my God, I'm sorry. I know, I'm making myself hungry too. But yeah, it's like, it was really cool. So I highly recommend. I don't recommend going with your mom, though. Actually, the last time my mom was in Seattle, she went to CanCan, and she texted me and she's like, this is the place you're always going to. And I was like, oh man.
That's great.
Yeah. I don't know if any CanCan people are listening out there. We'd love to have you on the show sometime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely. What else? This weather is extreme. So imagine that I'm in a newsroom in front of a weather forecast green screen. On the west side, we have extreme heat. And on the east side, we have flooding. It's the end of times. So be careful out there. I don't know if it's going to reach all the way up here, the excessive heat, but it might in the coming weeks. But it's also incredibly existential.
The hottest day on record ever, too, was this month, right? 4th of July.
It's less of a name and more of a warning. It is recording 130 degrees Fahrenheit, which is in the top five highest recorded, you know, temperatures ever. It's breaking records. Yeah. So start preparing. Start buying up those air conditioners before anybody else gets them. Don't scalp. If you are a scalper during a weather emergency, you deserve to be left in a hot car.
Yes, yes, 100%. Like, community should come together. You know, In the Heights showed us what you should do during a weather emergency. Just dance and party.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's also important to be said to watch out, because in Seattle, people have been predicting that as the climate crisis continues to get bad, Seattle is going to become more and more of a, like, climate haven.
Yes.
Just because we do have such kind of temperate weather over here. It will get hotter in Seattle, but they're thinking that, you know, eventually Seattle might be more akin to like Spokane, but, you know, it's not going to be any Death Valley. I guess start saving now too to prepare for a rise in like rent prices, because with more people fleeing the climate crisis to come here, it's definitely going to make rent a little bit harder. Not like trying to fearmonger anybody, but yeah, just prepare.
Really, a really downer. At least you'll be warm, I guess.
Yeah, until the winter, and then you'll be really, really cold.
Oh,
remember
gosh.
That ice storm where everything froze over?
Yes, yes. I was still living in Spokane, not this recent one, but years ago. But also this recent one was bad. I was so lucky that I was taking a trip to Arizona.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, and so my flight left right as, like, Seattle froze over. And yeah, my whole trip could have been canceled because of the ice.
Wow, that is really lucky.
Yeah, in Arizona during wintertime.
Oh,
hell yeah.
It's beautiful. Yeah, my dad's been
fantastic.
Talking for years about wanting to move to Arizona, at least for the winter.
I'm going to become a snowbird. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be Arizona, because Arizona is insane.
Yes, definitely.
But snowbirding is not that bad. Arizona in the winter is like our kind of like mid-summers when, you know, the climate crisis isn't terrible. Let's try to end on a happier note. What kind of music do you listen to?
Yeah. Okay. So we were talking about music before we started, just because I'm obsessed with Noah Kahan right now. So if any of our listeners are I'm really into like indie folk kind of music. You know, it's like enough removed from the country that I used to listen to as a kid in Spokane. Noah Kahan specifically, he speaks my soul. Like, he sings about mental illness, about like kind of that feeling you have, especially in, I think, like your early to mid 20s, when the idea of moving away from home can be so paralyzing at times. His latest album, Stick Season, and then the Stick Season Extended version that just came out, it really just kind of discusses like the dichotomy that exists inside of you when you like have such a community, you know, like where all your family lives in one place and you've got friends and people that have been there forever, but your dreams are just too big. And that's how I felt leaving Spokane. It was really hard for me to leave Spokane.
Yes.
I stayed there all through college and then finally moved to Seattle, which it might sound like it's not that big of a deal because it's only like 4 hours away, but it felt really big to me.
It's different.
It is. It's different. And it's like not having your support system able to just like, you know, come over. You know, like I've gotten COVID twice since being here, and both times, like, I remember just being so sick and just wanting my mom and being like, if I was in Spokane, my mom would come over and take care of me. And yeah, so like his music just kind of speaks to that feeling of, you know, it starts off with, if you listen to the album all the way through, it starts off with music and songs that are about him kind of like hating on his town. He's like, nothing happens here. It's kind of shitty. I'm going to just die here. I'm never going to get out. And that's kind of, you know, a feeling that I definitely had living in Spokane, especially in college when it felt like everybody I knew had gotten out and I was still there.
It is so hard to live there.
It is. Yeah. Especially like as a queer person.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it's a bit cheaper than Seattle, but the vibes are just awful.
Yeah. Well, and there's just, it's not, there's nothing to do there. You know, like my best friend and I joke all the time that everyone in Spokane's like a low-key alcoholic because all there is to do there is drink and go to Target.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yep.
So that's such the vibe of his music. And he ends on kind of this song that I've been listening to on repeat called You're Gonna Go Far. And it's kind of like his family, like telling him, you know, go on, go somewhere, go live your dreams. And we'll be here for you. You know, if you need to fall back on us, we're here. When you make it, you know, we're here. And it's just like really comforting, especially when things are going on at home that you're not a part of. I mentioned this kind of getting a little depressing maybe, but my grandpa, who I'm really close with, got in a car accident this last week and he's okay. He has a couple broken ribs, but he's okay. But it's like been really hard for me being in Seattle and not able to just drive over there and see him and talk to him. And, you know, that song's been very comforting to me this week.
Yeah, that's always hard.
Yeah, that's my monologue. What music are you listening to, Benny?
I listen to everything. I've been mostly listening to like audiobooks recently. Just finished Good Omens, which was so good.
Oh, have you seen the show?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Cool.
But one of the things that I consistently go back to all the time is this random band that I found years ago because there was a record player at a yard sale with a record without a case or without a sleeve for it already set into the record player. And so I was like, okay, whatever. Like, well, I'll see what this is, right? I played it and I was blown away. I wasn't expecting it at all.
Really? That seems like something out of a book or something. That's amazing.
Yeah. Part of my creative process is listening to new music. Mm-hmm. And I actually, my novella was inspired by the Alan Parsons Project Pyramid album. And it's the like the last song, I think, on side one, Can't Take It With You. That's another band that I go back to all the time. But this band is called Telenovela. I thought it was going to be like all in Spanish, but it's not.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. And they're so interesting. It's so hard to describe what their music is. All I can do is really use their description on Spotify, which is that they're a coin-operated medieval country songs through a 1950s Western lens.
What? What does that even mean?
I have no idea. Their music is so good. It's kind of witchy. It's kind of poetic. It has some kind of a storytelling element to some of them. It's really hard to describe, but I highly recommend. I consistently, each year when I get my Spotify wrapped, I'm like the number one fan of Telenovela. So
I love that. We'll definitely have to check that out sometime. That sounds super fun.
It is. Yeah.
And you said you have a record player too. Do you have any like favorite record stores to go to in Seattle?
I actually haven't had a chance to go check out record stores in Seattle just yet, you know, because of the pandemic. I moved over to this side of the state right before the pandemic. So there's a lot of things that I still haven't really explored because of that.
Yeah. Well, if you're ever looking, there's a really great record store on Broadway and Capitol Hill right by the office called Spin Cycle. We actually deliver there too. And they're super cool. They have sidewalk sales every now and then where they'll have like a whole big box of records and the whole box is just a dollar. So it's just, you know, if you're ever interested in, you know, listening and trying to find your next, you know, an unheard of gem, definitely would suggest checking them out.
Yeah. I mean, I highly recommend if you are the type of person to buy records, check the discount bin and just judge by the album cover. Like, it doesn't matter. You might find something, you know, on one hand, you get it at a discount. So, you know, it's $2. If it doesn't turn out to be good, who cares? But if you can find occasionally really wonderful gems that can give you a lot of inspiration.
Yeah, absolutely. I 100% agree. I've got a wide mix of records. Mm-hmm. One of my favorites is Simon and Garfunkel, which I didn't think I would be into,
nice.
But if it's my vibe. Well, okay, I think it's about time for us to wrap up. So yeah, this has been our show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to our interview guest. Thank you to Benny. Check us out, follow us on social media. And Benny, do you have anything else you'd like to say?
Nope.
Okay, cool. Yeah, check out some of our favorite music too, if you want. You don't have to. Have a great week.
No, you have to. It's required.
Yeah.
Radio SGN is hosted by Benny Loy and Lindsay Anderson, and edited by Daniel Lindsley. The music for the show is provided by TRG Banks and Jesse Spillane, or was provided for free by Anchor. Thank you so much for listening. Check us out on sgn.org. This podcast is part of the Seattle Gay News Podcasting Network.